I'm Molly Wood, and welcome to The Source Code. This is the place where we like to give you the uncut, full-length versions of some of the interviews we air on Marketplace Tech. The ones we think are especially noteworthy and that we think you, dear listener, will be extra interested in. In this case, that person is Ellen Pao. She's a venture capitalist who sued the well-known venture firm Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers for gender discrimination back in 2012. She lost that lawsuit, but the public fight inspired other women to come forward, and it shined a light on how venture capital plants the seeds of an entire ecosystem. So here's Ellen Pao, The Source Code.
It's a very imbalanced industry. So the people who are funding companies end up deciding who's going to succeed and who's not going to succeed. And it's often people who are very comfortable with the venture capitalists, or that the venture capitalists are very comfortable with, who end up getting funding. And often that creates a very homogenous set of people who get funded. And if you look at, you know, the fund that I was at previously, Kleiner Perkins, to get funding, founders had to present to the whole partnership in this giant conference room with floor-to-ceiling windows on two sides, one side looking over these giant trees and this giant wooden table that seated 20 people. And it was designed almost as if to intimidate people. So it's tied to this severe power imbalance. The funders are really eager to get cash to continue working on their ventures. Then those people who get funded end up hiring their executive teams, often with introductions to potential executives from the venture capitalists, and that homogeneity continues to ripple down the rest of the cycle.
Yeah, do you think people understand that? Do you think that they understand that when it starts with venture capital and it ends at Google or Alphabet, how sort of pervasive that trend can be?
I don't know. I don't think I understood it until I actually saw it, where you see, you know, these people who get an intro and all of a sudden they have the job, right? It's not like this fair process where many people are considered and we're looking at this full pool of candidates. It's, you know, that intro happens and that person gets the job, or that person gets the board seat, or that person gets funded. So it's a very insular and powerful set of relationships. And then if you look, it goes on one step further, where those people who are successful at Google then start their own companies, or they start funding companies. And then you see that perpetuate on and on.
You're quoted in this recent New Yorker article about how the tech industry in some ways is the new Wall Street. Do you think that this industry, when it comes to discrimination and sexual harassment, is worse than other industries?
I can't tell because I don't have a direct view into these other industries. It sounds like Hollywood is pretty terrible. You have a similar dynamic where there's this huge power imbalance. You have one person who can make or break your career. You may have this vision that you're very passionate about and you want to make it into a company. There's one person who can fund your company, and you are very much going to do what that person, usually a he, asks. And that person can also badmouth you to the rest of the industry. It's a very, very insular industry. So I think there may be a few related, relatively imbalanced industries, but it's not most industries. So I do think it's worse, but I don't know if it is the worst. I don't know that, you know, it matters.
Right. Lately, both companies and venture capitalists have been talking more about the idea of cognitive diversity. Is that a cop-out?
Yes, I think it's, you know, it's a red herring. I think people are very interested in trying to sidestep the issues and talk about something that is easier to deal with. I do think these are very, very difficult issues to fix. You have sexism and harassment rampant in the tech industry, and it's often and usually and almost always accompanied by other bad behaviors and racism and ageism. And it stems from this attitude of people and the people who are like them being better than others, and a feeling that people who are not like them are not equal to them and actually inferior. So this problem is very broad and it's hard to fix. So it's easier to talk about, let's try to bring people in who have different views and that justifies what I'm doing. But some of these views don't belong in the workplace, and that's the piece that people have to really sit down and understand and think about.
How can, do you think, in the short term, how can this industry be more aware of what it doesn't know or doesn't understand?
It's hard because you kind of feel like, how can you not know? How can you not understand? We've had a year of articles about them. We've had, you know, hundreds of people now telling their stories. You have, you know, Catherine Minshew, who now talks about 168 funding meetings and the horrible experiences she had and all the no's and the, you know, harassment and the sexism in that experience. You have Susan Fowler telling her story. You have Kelly Ellis. You have Emily Lamont. You have, you know, all of these people talking. You have the spreadsheet that Erica Joy Baker created. So there's a little bit of disingenuity, I think, when people say they don't really understand what's happening. You know, I wrote a book about it. Go read my book. Like, there's just a lot that is out there. And if you are not understanding what's happening, it's because you choose not to. I think there are opportunities to read books, to read articles, to talk to people and learn. And I think that is what most people should be doing, and many people have. And I think that's the big reason why this attitude has changed towards understanding that tech is a pretty toxic environment and does need to change, versus a year ago where people were still defending the meritocratic nature that they believe tech promoted.
And how do you feel? You know, in so many ways, Ellen, you're like the Eve in the origin story of this kind of current unraveling. I mean, how do you feel watching this all unfold?
It's funny. Somebody called me the canary in the coal mine, and I think, you know, the canary dies. It's not a good story.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and I feel a little bit like that. It's just very sad that this has happened to so many people and that it is so prevalent. I don't, you know, somebody asked me if I feel vindicated. I don't feel vindicated because it's not a happy story. It's something that I hope leads to change, and I have not seen that yet. I've seen more of the same people coming in to replace the people who do get pushed out, and the people who get pushed out, you know, it's maybe a handful or two, right? This is an industry that needs a complete reset, and it needs complete transformation, and little changes along the edges of a few people isn't, you know, are not going to do it. It's going to be replacing a whole swath of people, and I don't know if that will happen yet.
Yeah. And then there's kind of this whole spectrum of things that are at play. You know, there's bias, then there's sexism, then there's harassment. Are they all related?
I think it is tied to two things. One, this feeling that people are superior, that this group of homogenous people is actually superior to everyone else. And that means women, that means people of color, that means doubly so for women of color. It means, you know, people who are older, people who are disabled. None of these people get the same consideration as that group that fits the homogeneous pattern. And I think it's also tied to this power imbalance where you have, you know, a small number of people with a tremendous amount of power. And much of it was not really, I'd say, you know, it wasn't earned meritocratically. It was earned because they fit the mold, they fit the pattern. And it was a self-fulfilling prophecy where when you only invest or support or, you know, hire people who are within that same mold, those are the only people who are successful. And then you look at those successful people and you feel like, oh, well, that proves out the pattern. I'm just going to double down on it. But you haven't given anybody else a chance. So that feeling that because this group is successful, that means they are better than everyone else. And then that power to reinforce that pattern, I think those in combination have been, you know, responsible for where we are today.
Ellen Powell is a partner at the venture capital firm K4 Capital. She has a new book out called Reset. Ellen, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.